recently, the ANC hosted the Liberation Movement Summit 2025 under the theme of Defending the Liberation Gains, Advancing Integrated Socioeconomic Development, Strengthening Solidarity for a Better Africa. Whew, what a long title. The summit hosted the likes of President Cyril Ramaphosa, other African leaders from ZANU-PF, MLPA, SWAPO, FRELIMO, and the CCM, to name a few. Online, Dr. Paul Kariuki, Executive Director of the Democracy Development Program at the University of KZN. Dr. Paul Kariuki, welcome to this week's edition of the African Mirror.
Thank you so much, Shafiq, for having me on the show, and good afternoon to your listeners.
Yeah, this is certainly an interesting one. Most African liberation movements, as we know, have kind of passed on into the ether of history because a number of them are no longer in past. And obviously we know about the record of liberation movements not proving to be the best of governments, although they often gain us freedom.
Yes, not definitely. And I think the summit was convened at a very timely period in our continent at the moment, given the kind of challenges we've discussed in the previous programs about the changes that are political changes that are taking place on our continent, the unrest that we continually see because of pressing socioeconomic conditions, and of course the emergence of a new generation, Gen Zs, who completely disregard the notion of same old. In other words, they are demanding responsive governments that are ensuring that the needs of young people are, you know, considered and be engaged. And liberation movements have not done so much of that that work in their areas to bring in this generation to a place where they can be engaged properly as far as development and decision-making process are concerned. And so the idea of meeting together as liberation movements was very important for three reasons. One, to reflect on what has happened on the continent and whether the liberation movements are still relevant to democratic processes of the continent. Secondly, it was important to for them to convene themselves and check what else could they do better as liberation movements to continue offering that democratic political leadership, given the historical relevance of these liberation movements as being on the continent. And thirdly, to highlight the importance of not only addressing historical grievances and promoting reconciliation for future progress, but also where they can start now bringing in, you know, emergent generations like Gen Z, and exploring also opportunities for of developing the continent outside of the democracy and political liberality. And you know, we're talking of things like climate change. We're talking of things like peace and security. We're talking of things like digital transformations. It's important that these liberation movements, because most of them are still in leadership positions in different countries on the continent, to be showing that they're grappling with these issues, you know, continuously. My sense of it is that they have been caught up in their own internal political challenges. We've seen emergence of political factions that is constantly creating difficulties for liberation movements to be seen as relevant for the current dispensation. So I think with this background, the summit was a timely one, because this homework needs to be done, and it must be done very urgently if these liberation movements are to remain relevant for our continent.
Yeah, reflection and relevancy, I would agree, being sort of the themes or even the logo of the conference, as opposed to the hugely complicated title of about 15 words. It's hard to swallow on radio, that's for sure.
I agree with you 100%.
Though Fikile Mbalula, the ANC Secretary General, speaking on behalf of the ANC, did give an interesting speech, didn't he? He spoke about foreign interference, which I agree is an issue. He spoke about neo-colonialism, which I agree is an issue. And then he ventured into realms of which I don't think he has as much expertise he would like to think he has, digital imperialism. I would see digital imperialism as more of a thing for Gen Zs to be more informed. But nonetheless, those were his themes. I mean, what do you think of them?
I think he was spot on in those areas to say that they're grappling, they wanted us to understand that they're grappling with the issues of being relevant post-colonial periods in their own countries, including South Africa. But when it comes to things like digital transformation, I think most countries, including South Africa, are still struggling on how to bring young people, especially Gen Zs, into their mainstream political work. Because as we discussed 2 weeks ago, there is this tug of war between the current old political leadership that is still averse to, you know, digital transformation. And, you know, sometimes it appears as if it's just a tokenism or a cliche, for that matter, to, you know, to kind of to show relevance of some sort. But the real issue is that young people are feeling disenfranchised in participating in political decision making, including development spaces. Even now, we've seen some countries are even more, you know, more ruthless with this issue. Like, for example, during an election, they switch off Twitter and social media platforms so that people cannot engage. We saw in the recent spate of protests in Kenya, for example, the whole country was put out of darkness, I mean, out of engagement, because, you know, the leadership there interpreted if people continue to engage and see the things that they are seeing during the protests, it may, you know, create other difficult problems. Switching off, you know, communication lines goes against anything they want to talk about digital transformation, because this is a tool to help people engage with what they are not happy with. It cannot be used as a tool to silence dissenting voices. Everything that has to do with digital transformation has to be inclusive, and it has to appreciate the, you know, the freedoms that the Constitution provides for everyone. And of course, it's with understanding that everything has to have a boundary. But we've seen in certain countries where digital transformation is actually now being used as a tool to silence voices, which of course is an anti-democratic process. So I think the mention of it was important, but we need to see a more, you know, active engagement with digital transformation processes, where young people are given opportunities, particularly to engage with the political leadership and not feeling intimidated or fear of, you know, reprisal.
Yeah, I would agree. I do have problems with Mr. Ambalula using the word digital and then attaching the word imperialism to it. I'm very confident that the Gen Zs, and we're now getting the Alpha generation apparently, that these people, especially if one looks at what's been happening in Ukraine and also in Palestine, they don't have to be told what is imperialism and what is not. And they are quite capable of looking after themselves in the so-called imperialistic space, because they have been the people who have exposed all the fault lines. So yes. I get a bit nervous when an older politician uses the word digital plus imperialism.
Yeah, I think the choice of words was not so smart there, because it also sends another message, just like what I indicated, that the states in different countries on the continent can use that kind of a word to limit engagement and to cause a lot of problems, like we've seen in places like Kenya and Tanzania, where young people have expressed themselves strongly on social media platforms, addressing or highlighting issues that they are really uncomfortable with. And quickly, the state security agencies go and after them. You know, we've seen high levels of abduction and disappearances, forced disappearance, including extrajudicial killings. Now, this, some of this is rooted on the use of social media platforms. But however, that does not mean there is an imperialistic attack on those platforms. It's simply that young people are taking opportunity to use a platform that is relevant for them and to also declare what they think is important for national discourse. So imperialism here means can mean many things. Unfortunately, he did define what imperialism means from his point of view. But if you were to go with a literal meaning of the word imperialism, it means that there's an external force that is trying to impose almost what they would call, some leaders on the continent has called, a regime change. You know, and so when the words like imperialism are used in such an important discussion, if that sends a wrong message, could the state be thinking about following other countries that are doing similar practices of their, you know, limiting engagement on social media platforms in the name of saying that these platforms are actually hijacked? See, things like those do not send good messages to young people. Actually, what it does, it aggravates them to want to even use other, you know, undemocratic processes to make their voices heard. It is important that, you know, the choice of words is really, really carefully considered, because it can become a detrimental process on our democracy processes across the continent, not only in South Africa. So, and there could be perhaps maybe some external actors who may be using, you know, digital platforms elsewhere outside of the continent to want to bring, you know, some level of anxiety, political anxiety, and using young people because, you know, it's easier to get to them than the older generation. But I think unless such kind of words are really defined so that they convey the right meaning to the rest of the public, they should be used very sparingly, unless also there is also evidence that there is, you know, there is digital imperialism.
Yeah, and of course, I'm beginning to think that Africa's old liberation movements, because most of them are old, well, the ANC is the oldest one, they need to create some sort of platform like a council of elders. I know there is one already. But to get people who've got wise grey heads to meet more regularly, perhaps, and to try and give some kind of direction to African governments or to the continent, because at the moment we are in quite a strong position because we're not involved in a war in Ukraine. We're not involved in Gaza, although we should speak out morally on that. You know, we're not involved in any neo-colonial projects per se. So perhaps that could be a way out. I'm just thinking aloud.
Yes, no, I think I agree with you 100% because one of the ways I think that these liberation movements can remain relevant in the modern post-colonial Africa, they need to understand that embracing technological innovations is not a threat to security of the state per se. It's just an innovative mechanism for better outreach and better activism, only that we're using ICT technologies. However, it's also important to realize that if these liberation movements are not going to reframe their agendas around contemporary issues like digital transformation and contemporary socioeconomic challenges, they are going to be out of existence rapidly. We have seen a decline of the, you know, of the democratic capital in most countries on the continent, where people are now starting to embrace newer parties who are coming up, political parties that are coming up with, you know, appealing alternative solutions. We are seeing the rise of social movements that are becoming also politically aligned. And therefore, that continues to diminish the space in which the liberation movements have been enjoying for more than 40, 50 decades. That means that there is nothing that remains static. And so it means that unless they embrace, they reframe their agendas on these big issues that young people are are really embracing, their relevance might be out of picture in the probably even 5 to 10 years soonest, because there is that issue of stagnation that has been reported and widely documented, and most liberation movements are stuck with their old historic ways of engaging. The agendas have remained also very stuck, and rarely do they mean well when they even put these agendas, you know, socioeconomic agendas on their party manifestos, for example, because they we have seen continued delimitation of transparency in their dealing, and of course serious corruption within most of these liberation movements, and that is hampering their ability to appeal to masses in the same way they were embraced in pre-colonial days and immediately after colonial days. These are important issues, and they cannot be wished away, because at the end of the day, liberation movements must also remember the reason why they have enjoyed support from the citizenry over the years and even across the countries. It's because they were very much at the forefront of fighting and committed to fighting social injustices, income inequalities, and divided governance. Now that agenda hasn't changed. What people are yearning so much, especially those who have supported them for these decades, they want to see them becoming more transparent, more thoughtful about their leadership postures, deal with the issues of corruption within their own ranks, desist from the idea of factionalism that creates confusion, and especially when it comes to fighting injustices, in their own countries. If they don't do that, there will be a serious decline of their support. Eventually, they will break up in small pieces and lose their relevance on the continent.
And on that note, it's time to meet and to greet for this week's edition of the African Mirror. As always, the expert at hand, Dr. Paul Kariuki, Executive Director of the Democracy Development Program at the University of KwaZulu-Natal. As always, thanks for joining us in African Mirror, and we'll chat same time next week.
Thank you so much for having me on the show.